Nice weekend coming our way. I don't see any precipitation in the forecast until Tuesday, and mostly clear skies and warmish temperatures, at least for October. So there you go. We may as well be in Mississippi. Is that right? Is that a good transition?
Louisiana.
Okay. Oh, Louisiana. Oh, right. It's a parish or whatever. Thank you. Okay. We may as well be in Louisiana, which is the state where at least the film and I assume the play, Steel Magnolias, takes place. Okay. I've never seen the play. I did do a little reading about it, though. I guess let's start with just the bare details. Keely Gray, you're the director of the film. Would you, by the way, introduce our other two guests?
I'd love to. Okay. And I love how you gave me film cred, play cred.
the film. Yeah, okay.
I can't take credit for that one. Here. I wasn't even born when that happened. So, well, I am the proud director of Steel Magnolias for Lake Pondere Repertory Theater's sixth production on the main stage at the Panada. It's pretty exciting. And I have here two of my amazing cast. I've got Aviana Elizabeth Garcia, who is playing Truvy Jones, which you all will remember fondly in the film as Miss Dolly. And then I've got Miss Nikki Luttman here, who plays the role of Malin. And I am just so proud that I get to show them off today. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And the play is, you mentioned it's at the Panada on the big stage. When is it?
It is this weekend. So we open tomorrow. Ooh, so boy. We've got Friday and Saturday performances at 7 p.m. and Sunday performances at 2 p.m. And what's very exciting about this show is for the first time, LPO Rep is doing understudies. So we want to make sure everybody knows that if you want to catch Nikki Luttman in the role of Malin and Holly Sharp in the role of Annelle, come Fridays and Saturdays. And if you want to see Corinne Thompson and Jesse McKechnie, go ahead and come in on our Sunday matinees.
Okay.
Yeah. Tickets cool. on tickets online at lporep.com or at the door.
Okay. Those are the two places. You can get it at the Panada box office or at lporep.com.
Yes. So the Panada won't be selling tickets and we'll be selling tickets during the show.
Okay. Yeah. But not on the,
Not on the Panada website. Panada website will lead you to our website.
Okay. Who decided that it was going to be Steel Magnolias? Is that you entirely?
Well, it's usually me. And then I go to my amazing board and say, hey guys, I thought about doing this. And they're like, great idea. Let's do it.
Okay.
It followed off the heels of Legally Blonde, and Nikki was the one who brought this to my attention. Like, I have no idea how these things happen, but I managed to pick two plays that have the same exact line in them, which is, pink is my signature color.
Yes.
Both lead actors say that in their plays. Shelby says it in Steel Magnolias, and Elle Woods says it in Legally Blonde.
Huh.
Yeah. Well,
nicely done.
Okay. Yeah. And that also plays in. I'm definitely plugging this, and I appreciate you, Jack. Nikki also brought to my attention that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So
sure is.
And so the color of that is pink. And Friday, October 18th, we're actually going to have a pink night where we encourage our guests to wear pink, and we'll be collecting donations that night to donate to Community Cancer Services in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Well, that's fantastic. October 18th is pink night at at Steel Magnolias. Okay. The play, the movie is based on the play.
Correct.
Not unlike Legally Blonde, I assume that.
Yep. And it's a fascinating story because the author, Robert Harling, based this story on his sister's experience. And so the characters that he portrays are essentially what his mother and sister were going through during this time when his sister passed away. And Shelby is loosely based off of his sister.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful show. Those who've seen the movie know that laughter through tears is the name of the game.
The play is different from the movie. How?
It is different. It's very different, but very the same. So what folks will notice is that instead of many locations, like the film portrays, the play only takes place in the salon. So it's one set the entire time, but the conversations and the dialogue are dang near identical. Mm-hmm. I actually rewatched the movie when we first cast the show because I wanted to kind of get a feel for all of this again. And I had my script with me, and it is word for word in all of the major scenes. Like, you can just follow it from beginning to end. So the dialogue, like all of the wonderful one-liners that everybody's used to in that show are there intact and funnier than ever.
And the other difference between the movie and the play, which some people were surprised at, is that there are no male characters directly in the play.
Yeah.
You hear about them, they become part of the story, but they are not actually in the play. So it's kind of been interesting, but it's the whole play centers around these six women and the stories that they tell and how their stories interweave.
Do you have any men in the crew?
Yes. My amazing stage manager, Michael Bigley, has been a staple. Like, I mean, he just kind of holds us all together, and he even cries with us sometimes. Mm-hmm. He probably wouldn't like me saying that, but also part of the team, we have an amazing lighting designer named Terry Owens, who's been in a lot of shows with LPO.
Also on the board now.
And also on the board now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's actually a DJ here at KRFY.
He does. Mm-hmm. He actually had to leave a tech rehearsal early so that he could come do that radio show.
Nice.
And I sent him on his way and said, go kill it.
All right. Thank you. Well, yes, the radio audience thanks you for sharing him. The Beast and the Priest on Monday nights at 9 o'clock.
That's right.
It's a fun show. People should tune in. The decision to do... this play, I mean, did you have a relationship with this play beforehand or anything? Or the movie?
I had seen the movie.
Yeah.
And obviously enjoyed it, knew the impact of it. But really what's been guiding a lot of the decisions to choose the plays that we choose has been, honestly, a grand experiment. Kind of feeling what our community connects with.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I'm very much an input research person. And so I like to make sure that I'm choosing pieces that will have, number one, have an impact that people will connect to and that will resonate and be well known. And so one of the things that I noticed was that when folks had a reference point, like a film to connect to, they immediately were more excited about it. Young Frankenstein, mm-hmm. for example, was our first show. And I think one of the nights that we had, hardly any of the audience members, I like to talk to folks who come in and see our shows, and they had told me flat out, I've never been to a theater production before. I only came to this just because I love the movie so much and I wanted to see it. And sure enough, during that production, there was a Saturday night where we had so many people neighing in the audience when Frau Blücher came on that you couldn't hear the sound effects. So kind of playing off of that and Murder on the Orient Express and everything, I kind of noticed a theme. And so I put on my research hat and was like, okay, what shows are really going to connect with Sandpoint? And when I put out the idea, because I always like to check with people about, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, what do you think? Every single person that I mentioned Steel Magnolias to, their reaction was exactly the same. And it was, oh, I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of knew that that was a very good, that was a good indicator that it was going to be impactful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the acting in this play. You guys came to it. Were you recruited by Keeley? Did you go to an audition or what? How did you? Yes.
I was recruited by a student who was in Legally Blonde, actually, a student of mine, James. He said, you better audition for Steel Magnolias. And I said, what? Where? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I love James.
Yeah, me too. So great. And so I was like, oh, Keeley's doing Steel Magnolias? Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Like, because that was my reaction. Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason for that reaction is because it's a love story at its heart. Like, a love story supporting one another. These neighbors have been neighbors for years, you know, taking care of one another. We had a funny moment last night in tech when we're like, we can't hug so hard because the mics are like, right? And we are like legitimately hugging each other, you know, like we haven't seen each other, like we're supporting each other like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that feels just really good and really good for this community to be a part of bringing that love story among these beautiful women who've been neighbors for a long time. And
have gone through a lot too. Yeah, they've all gone through a lot together,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. We're only seeing a little snippet of their life, actually, and you can start making the subtext all around it, right? So
Aviana, have you been on stage before?
I have, yes.
In Sandpoint?
In Sandpoint, yeah. I was in 2019, so this is my back into the saddle. Thank you, Keely. I was in Drinking Habits with Kate McAllister, Mother Superior, and I played Mary Catherine. So much fun. And then I did a one act with Becky. So, yeah, and that's my training. So I'm just so, so happy to get back on the stage.
Cool. I'll also mention that we were fortunate enough to have Liz co-teach our Winter 1X back in 2022, was that? In addition to being a fabulous actress, she's also a fabulous teacher.
Okay. Nikki, and you come to this play with acting experience?
Yes, though it has literally been about 28 years since I have been on a stage.
Oh, my.
Okay. You know, as so often happens in life, like I moved to Sandpoint. I had done lots of theater in high school and college, and then moved to Sandpoint and started a family, and my life became that. And my daughter actually was one of Keely's students and also one of Aviana's students. She did Legally Blonde, and when we heard about the auditions for Steel Magnolias, she knew I had a backstory with that. I had an opportunity to do it in high school, but I didn't do it, and I've always loved that play.
Tell the story. Tell the story.
So years ago, I'm from Southern California, and years ago, I met Sally Field, incidentally, a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
I taught knitting at a small boutique yarn store in Santa Monica. And in LA, it's actually quite the popular pastime to knit on set. So in between takes or whatever.
Sure. A lot of downtime.
Lots. Yeah. And so I worked at this sort of knit shop to the stars, if you will. Mm-hmm. And Sally Field was a regular there. And on the third time I met her, I actually sort of amped up my courage to talk to her. Uh-huh. And we chatted a little bit, but I told her that my favorite movie of hers was Steel Magnolias, and that I was very regretful that I passed up the opportunity to audition for it years ago. Uh-huh. And she told me, you know, someday you might find another opportunity.
Well.
And here we are.
Oh, my.
Just saying, if Sally Field, if you're listening, like, come on to Sandpoint. Come hang out with us. Yes.
I think she is a listener to the KRFY Morning
Show. I'm sure she is.
Periodically, I think she tunes in. Yeah.
So, I auditioned with my daughter, Hannah, and not thinking I would get a part at all, and really connected with the part of Malin anyway, but loved the fact that we were even auditioning, and I was so nervous at auditions because I haven't really done theater for, like I said, decades. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Please share what Kate McAllister, fellow castmate in the show, shared with you. What did she tell you when you did your first reading at Callbacks?
Oh, she said, go bigger. Like, when I was doing my audition, we opened with a scene that was really intense, you know, the sort of crying scene at the end that everybody's so familiar with in the graveyard in the movie. And I was like, okay, like, go bigger. Oh, I don't know if I can. And I did. And it was really fun.
Everybody in the room was crying and silent for probably about a minute. It was just like, it smacked you in the face to the point of like, there was no denying it.
Yeah. Is it hard? You are a mother of daughters.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, do you draw on that experience, I guess, when?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I lost a child, my first child, many years ago.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yep. He would have been 20 years old on October 25th. The beautiful thing about this is that playing Malin, I feel like things are coming full circle for me. I get to grieve in a way that I haven't been able to do before because I get to be somebody else and channel her feelings. And that to me is amazing. Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, that is quite something. that I imagine the catharsis is strong. Mm-hmm. The play is Steel Magnolias. It's at the Panada Theater this weekend and next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, both weekends. Nikki Letman plays Malin. Aviana Elizabeth Garcia plays Truvy Jones, and Keely Gray is the director. We are 20 minutes in, and I'm going to take a short musical break here. This is actually a very odd transitional piece of music. I didn't know what exactly we'd be talking about right now, so I decided to pick this song that was on the charts in 1987. This hit number one in 1987 on this very date, October 10th. See if you remember this one. And I think, so the movie came out in 89?
89.
Okay. So it's a little bit, I missed it by a couple years. I was trying to find the song that was on the charts in 89 and I didn't, but whatever.
It was written in 87 and published in 87, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. So this is appropriate. The play is, yes, the play is at the time that you might have gone and seen this play off-Broadway, at this time of year, here's what you would have been listening to on the radio, most likely. We'll be right back with more on The Morning Show, talking about Steel Magnolias right after this. White Snake with Here I Go Again, number one on this date, 1987. You're listening to the KFY Morning Show. I'm Jack. I'm here with Keely Gray, the director, Nikki Letman, Malin, and Aviana Elizabeth Garcia. Truvy from the play Steel Magnolias on stage at the Panada this weekend and next. Tickets available at lporep.com and at the door if you show up. And there's any tickets left. Who knows?
Yeah. I have been waiting patiently for the show where we sell out. So Sandpoint, help us sell out.
Selling out the Panada is tough to do, actually.
It
feels full with even like 100 people in there. It feels like a good
it
night.
It really does.
But
the,
yeah.
The highest number we've hit, which was actually for our first show, was Young Frankenstein, was 300.
Wow.
So I don't consider myself a competitive person except for with myself.
Yeah.
And so there's this big hunger inside me as a producer to say, let's sell out the Panada.
Right. You'd like to at least get to 301 or something like that. Yeah. You want to top it.
I want to set
a new personal best.
Exactly.
You guys were. I was eavesdropping in the break there. You slipped into Southern accent a little bit. Both of you, how's your Southern accent? Is this you? Obviously, it's part of the play.
I don't even know if we know that we're doing it anymore.
It's questionable because my son says to me, he says, "Mama, you sound different."
Yeah.
And I said, "Do I, honey?" And I just will slip into it and not even notice. And I have Southern roots in my bloodline. So my grandma.
Uh-huh. This is me too. My family's from Louisiana.
Wow.
So yay. Like, it's second nature.
Okay.
And so, everybody does it. When we're all in there, even Michael hops in there.
Yeah.
And I challenge the audience, if they're going to come see us, they should try theirs on too.
Okay. Unlikely for this particular theater goer, but maybe we'll see. So it wasn't hard for you then. I mean, both for either of you to find a Southern accent Any kind of dialect, or did anyone during rehearsals or anything, did anybody say like, no, you got to change the way you say that?
No, but the interesting thing is that our accents have melded. They started out being very different. Mm-hmm. Like you could have had somebody from Florida and somebody from Georgia and maybe somebody from North Carolina. Yeah. But now we all sound the same.
You sound
we
like
picked up on each other.
From the same place.
Yes. Okay. And it's very really interesting how that's happened in a matter of just a couple weeks.
Yeah. So I will say, Corinne, who is playing Malin's understudy, she probably had the hardest time with the Southern accent.
Yes.
And now when she's on stage, like you just said, it like melds in. And
because you're hearing it every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been amazing. Like she had her run through last night and I was just listening going, wow, that has come a long way. And she sounds fantastic.
Yeah. It's definitely.
You must have taught her something, Malin.
No, I think it's just us being around each other. And like I said, like, When I'm not on stage, I'm still talking in my accent. I do interior design, and I've had tile guys go, "Why are you talking like that?"
Well, fantastic. The play takes place in a small town, right? A parish in Louisiana.
Chinkapin Parish.
Okay. Do you guys connect Sandpoint to Chinkapin at all? Does it feel like
very much?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Feels relatable.
Yeah, one of my favorite lines is Truvy's, which is she's responding to Anel, who says, "Y'all are so nice here." Mm-hmm. And Truvy, what do you say back?
"We enjoy being nice to each other. There's not much else to do in this town."
And I feel like that's very, very Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Taking care of one another.
You guys have all seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Differences between the play and the movie, and which do you prefer? Well, we already mentioned, I guess, the difference. The main difference is no men in the movie, and then it all takes place in one spot. Do you prefer the play? Is it hard to call, I guess, now that you're in it?
That's such a hard question.
That is. Yeah. And how do you, I struggle, I guess, like, how do you top Sally Field? You don't. You just let her be her. Mm-hmm. You let Dolly Parton be Dolly Parton. Like we're just trying to fill very big shoes, and hopefully our audience will connect with us in a different way than they connect with the film, but also appreciate the fact that we are trying and kicking butt at what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Just
y'all
a little bit
be
different.
Crying. Y'all will be crying. I was last night we did our first run with full costumes and everything and all the sound effects, all the lighting effects. And I've seen we've been rehearsing this show for what feels like forever. And I've seen all of these amazing women perform these roles so many times. And every time I watch it, I'm still transfixed. Mm-hmm. And I still cannot stop just getting emotionally involved and crying and feeling all of this amazing emotion that these women are giving out. Like we've actually had to have conversations about self-care and taking care of and making sure that you're taking the time to process these big emotions that you're feeling. Because it's exhausting. It's tiring.
It is. When we get done, I feel like I've run a marathon.
Cause you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
The play is, I mean, having no men in the play and having it all take place amongst the women, I feel like I haven't seen the play yet, so I can't say for sure, but I feel like that must focus it a little more. I mean, in the movie, the men being in there, I don't know, it's not distracting exactly, but like the play is so much about this group of women.
We talk about men a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Husbands get talked about quite often. Sons get talked about often. You know, a veterinarian, whitey black, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're with us.
Yeah.
They're just across the street.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and we don't necessarily see Drum, but we hear his impact on
the
first scene.
A big character.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, though, is if you think about it logistically, there's six of us on stage for the entire performance. That's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a lot of work, but it's also pretty amazing when you think about just the brain power and the connectivity that has to go on when you're dealing with just six people as characters in a play. It's very different than doing a large scale production like Legally Blonde or A Christmas Carol, where you have so many people sharing the spotlight that it doesn't put as much pressure on any one person per se at any given time. This, there's a lot of pressure because we're almost always on the stage.
Okay.
Yeah. Very, it's very different.
And
yeah.
doing hair.
And doing hair right. and making presents at the same time.
No, rehearsals were, they were like, I was very thankful as a director that there was only one set because the logistics that we had to go through in regards to what is done in a salon and how to make this feel realistic. I had to do research. I had to come in. I had to like work through things in my brain before rehearsals and like sit out and look at the set, which I'm loosely saying, cause they were like chairs. It was just like a schematic of like the salon, but the brain power it took to make sure we had all of the right props for them to practice with, to make sure that we had all of the right techniques. Like, Liz over here has become a master at hair, and like she
thank
like
God.
Oh my goodness, it's amazing. And our Annels are like learning things too. Like we actually had to have a lesson on how to roll hair
because curlers.
In curlers,
it's a big part of the play, and we don't really do that anymore as a society. That's what curling irons are for.
So it's been a whole education for me too because I'm so used to kind of like feeling things out, and like I'm a very much like a feel director, like. Feeling things out. This was very like plotted and planned and had to make sure that we had certain things ready and available. And it was, I mean, my props gal, who's also playing Anil, Holly Sharp, she was put to task, man, because from the very beginning of rehearsals, I'm like, we need these rollers. We need these smocks. We need these brushes. We need all of these things so that these girls can practice with this. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And thank goodness we did because, I mean, can you speak to that, Liz?
Yeah, I can. So I grew up in the 80s, and one of my favorite pastimes as a kid growing up was watching my mom do her hair and makeup because she did. And she wore pantyhose and the whole thing. And so she taught me how to do all that as a daughter growing up and be like, I want to tease my hair too. And she would help me and teach me. So it's really fun to come back to my childhood. Like that's what's happening. And this is coming through. I'm like, oh, look. Oh, wow. I know how to do this.
She does. I struggle. I'm lucky if I brush my hair in the morning. So ponytail's usually my thing. I'm really struggling with the hair thing. So thank goodness we have Liz who's channeling her inner Truvy because it has been a challenge for me.
Yes.
They're all doing a great job getting their hair because I keep telling all of them and I swear they're going to hate me one day. Bigger hair. Bigger hair. It's the 80s. Bigger hair.
You told me, Keely, I think it was in the first rehearsal, the higher the hair, the closer to God.
I'm sorry. That is a classic Dolly line.
Isn't that in the play?
No.
It's
Dolly. Yeah, it's Dolly at some point. I can't remember when or where.
I can't remember either, but it is a Dolly Parton quote.
Do you guys have favorite quotes, favorite lines, favorite parts of the play?
So many.
I'll just start with mine, which is kind of a little mushy-gushy. And I think for me, because I really connected with the role of Shelby, which is Malin's daughter, mostly because it's healing a lot of mother-daughter things with me. And her line is, and it's like kind of the motto of my life, I would rather have 30 minutes of wonderful than a lifetime of nothing special. And that is kind of my philosophy in life now. What about you, Liz?
Oh, crikey. There are so many, but Kate McAllister as Clary every time gets me with, well, Jesus Christ wasn't even born till I was a junior in college. I can picture now, there we were watching our flocks by night. And it's like, oh my gosh.
It kills me.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, I have to say the character of Weezer is so funny. And I love the fact that we have some comic relief through this thing. But it comes sometimes from unexpected places. But one of my favorite lines is when Weezer's sitting there looking like, a cat who got the cream and says, I can't help it if men find me desirable.
Like gardening, like like full on,
hands looking like T-bones.
She's wearing like rubber gardening boots and sitting in this couch with this like dirty dress, going, I can't help it. Man, find me desirable. Shelly just does such a great job with that line.
It's hilarious. So, just the, I think the juxtaposition of of the laughter through the tears is the whole theme of this play. And so all good. Of us, I mean, we're on stage, we're legitimately laughing and we're legitimately crying because it is such, the dialogue just calls for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The flavor, it is a comedy. I mean, or at least it's comic. It's not, it's a drama, obviously, but it's not.
Dramedy?
Drama. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this play for me, so as a theater teacher and teaching the history of theater, to look at the drama masks, right? We know the drama masks. They're familiar. They're two masks together. One is the sad mask. One is the happy mask.
Yes,
one is comedy and tragedy. Never apart. Always together. Mm-hmm. And it comes from the Grecian times, and they're known as Talia and Melpomene. And so it's like, really, when I was teaching this to my kids, I was like, well, what's a similarity between the two? What's one thing? And we're like, tears. Oh, when you laugh really, when you laugh a whole lot, what happens? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I cry. Well, when you are sad and you're grieving, what happens? Well, I cry. I was like, whoa. Yeah. So it was just
brilliant.
It was really powerful.
It was nice to be with a fellow theater teacher because we got to nerd out on a lot of stuff. I think, and you said the word earlier, Jack, catharsis. I think I mentioned that in a rehearsal, and everybody just started they looked at Liz and I because we geeked out like two little girls.
Oh gosh, it was hilarious.
And we're just nerding out on these phrases from theater
history.
Aristotle's
six elements.
Yes. So the other thing I'm going to say is last night we did a run through, and I got to watch. Not only did I get to watch the other characters, but I got to watch my character because my understudy, Corinne, was performing as Malin. Mm-hmm. And that was, I feel like everybody should have that experience. It was so wonderful to be able to sit there in the audience and enjoy this production. Oh my gosh. So the Holly Sharp, who is my Anel, and then she and I sat there and watched this amazing production and went, wow, now we get to do that tomorrow night. Yeah. What? Who gets to do that? That was amazing. And I wish all the actresses in this performance had an opportunity to do that. But it makes for a really sometimes challenging situation where those of us who had understudies, it was two characters, Malin and Anel, we had less rehearsal time, just because logistically we had just as many rehearsals, but we had to split the time between us to be able to do that. And up until a couple weeks ago, I was really nervous that only one of us would be able to perform because we were so stressed out. But these wonderful castmates of ours pulled together, and I feel like we were able to bypass some of those emotions and just get it done. But Aviana, what was your experience with having understudies with,
it's so funny. It felt like we all meshed regardless of who was playing the role at the time. It was really easy to connect because they were there. You're there with Malin, Corinne is, Holly S and Jess. They're just so I didn't really even notice. I mean, technically, yeah, there was some blocking differences and, but they play it in such a way that I don't have to really, I don't do anything different. I mean, it's a different person I'm looking at, but that I'm still so very connected to that person that it doesn't do, it doesn't take me out or anything like that. So.
Well, and like I said, this is our first time as a company doing understudies. So I will fully admit this was my first time as a director doing understudies. And so Nikki and I had this great conversation where it was we learned a lot from this experience. Mm-hmm. And going forward, it's exciting because it opens up more opportunities for our community. Mm-hmm. Because Corinne and Jesse, for instance, this was their first time even being introduced to LPO. Mm-hmm. And so they were, I could gush about callbacks and the amazing women that auditioned for this show and how I wish I could work with all of them all the time.
25 of us.
25 women auditioned for this show. And it was, it was hard. It was really, really hard because everybody was so fantastic and just melded together, like Aviana was saying. For me, even though it's been an experience and a learning experience, one of the greatest joys that I got to see as a director was the freedom of the understudies and the main cast to be different interpretations of each character. And so one of the things that I encourage folks to do is get your tickets to see both, because it's a completely different show. And like Nikki's Malin and Corinne's Malin are so different. Yes, they have the same lines. Mm-hmm. They couldn't be more different. Same with the Inells. They're so different. And one of the things I told my actors when they first got in was like, you know, I've never done this before, but I'm going to say what feels good to me is that you guys interpret this character the way it feels natural to you. And all of them took it and ran with it and in a really beautiful way. And so it's pretty remarkable. It's pretty amazing. I mean, we had our struggles, but we got there.
Mm-hmm. You'll try again with understudies?
Well, what's exciting is Tim Bangle, who is my director for Christmas Carol, which is coming in December. Mm-hmm. I think we had over 40 people audition for Christmas Carol, and the cast is roughly just under 30. And he actually is doing understudies for some of the children's roles because we had so many talented kiddos come out. And so he will be doing understudies as well. Mm-hmm. So this might be a theme that we run with for LPO, just because part of our mission is making sure that we build our community, include our community, and empower our community.
Yeah. Let me ask you one more question about the play. This play was written by a man, Robert Harling.
Correct.
And, of course, he's drawing on real-life experiences, looking at his mother and his sister. How do you guys think he did? Does it ring true to life to you as far as the relationships between the women? Did he?
He nailed it.
Yeah.
And I would say, did he write anything else? I think he did write one other one. But I don't know what it is. I can't remember either. Sadly, I don't know that. But
where is Michael Bigley when we need him?
Exactly. Yeah.
Who is this guy? Whoa, he got in there. It's really, you know, the one thing though. It's like there's Truvy talks about the different magazines and like there's Glamour. What's in Glamour versus what's in Family Circle? I'm not sure he fully understood. That might be an inside joke because the audience might not even catch it. But I'm like, that article would not be in Family Circle. But it's just, it's so great. He's just marvelous. He got in there. He did a good job.
I feel like he really did a good job, not only connecting with women's emotions and stuff like that, but I was like, maybe his mom took him to the salon or something when he was younger. Who picks up that much about how to do hair? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, in fact, if you watch the movie, he plays the preacher that marries Julia Roberts in the movie. The nurses in the movie are actually the real nurses that nursed his sister while she was in the ICU.
Oh, wow.
Which I found really, really interesting. But yeah, I think he's a very talented individual who, for some reason, just all this outpouring of love that he had for his sister comes out in this play. And now we get to share it with each other in our community. And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I cry a lot.
We all cry.
It's just so beautiful. I cry joy and all the things. It's beautiful.
It takes place in the South. It takes place in the 1980s. I mean, I don't know how much the 80s play into it, but
a lot
they do. Okay,
The costumes were so much fun.
Okay, the hair, the costumes, the all colors, the things,
furniture.
Oh yeah,
I feel like I'm in my grandma's.
Yeah,
so great.
Do you feel like it connects to where we are and when we are right now pretty well?
Yes, yeah. And one of the things that comes up, these women were kind of a little bit ahead of their time.
Mm-hmm.
They're all either career women or very driven. And so Malin is a professional. Truvy owns her own salon. Clary owns a radio station. Because, you know, a small town radio station can be a license to print money if it's run right.
We haven't found that to be the case. But yeah.
I thought you might get a kick out of that one.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like it's very relevant for right now. One of the things that we sought to do with Legally Blonde was really touch on this age of women. Because we are in a moment right now where women are starting to speak up more. They're starting to become, they're starting to edge out men as far as business ownership. They've already edged out in as far as college admissions. And mm-hmm. we're kind of seeing this rise of the woman, so to speak. And so Elle Woods was like the perfect catalyst into that, because she was all about authenticity and taking up your space and making sure that you are true to who you are, regardless of what might try and bring you down. And this show highlights the power of women to support each other, and how with that support, women are unstoppable. Like, it's, I think one of my favorite moments is at the very end, where we hear Malin say, "I didn't think I would want to come here today, but when I woke up this morning, all I wanted to do was come here." And I think that speaks to the power of community, and how, I mean, we've all experienced it as a cast, because we've been crying so much, having so much stuff happening. But when you have that person or that group of people to share the load and mm-hmm. let you feel your feelings, I mean, I think that is the power of women. The fact that we can feel these emotions powerfully, and we can still do all of the things that get the world, keep the world running. Mm-hmm. And it's with that support of each other that we do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The play is Steel Magnolias. The performances are at 7
p.m.
Okay.
And 2 p.m. on Sunday.
Doors open at
6 o'clock on Friday and Saturday, and mm-hmm. 1 p.m. on Sunday.
Okay. It's the Panada, so you get there early and get your seats, because there's no, it's all general admission, I imagine, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. One of the great Southern gentlemen just appeared outside of our door. Rob Talbot is here to talk Aww. About what else is going on.
Well, you'll probably hear Steel Magnolias mentioned a couple times.
I think so. We'll talk about other upcoming events. Okay, 7 o'clock and 2 o'clock, or 7 p.m. Friday, Saturday, this weekend and next.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. LPORep.com for tickets, or show up at the Panada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Unless, as we said, unless this one sells out. Could happen.
Could happen. Pink night. Pink night. October 18th.
Friday the 18th.
Okay, yeah. Anything else you want to say about that? About I don't know. About anything in general?
I will. Just a couple things before we head out. We are also...
You can stick around while Rob is here, too. He's a friendly guy.
I know he is.
Somebody's got to make room on a microphone, though.
He and I have to, like... We have to stop ourselves from having conversations for hours on end.
Mm-hmm.
But we're actually doing two productions at the same time for LPRep. Tim Bangle, my director, is working on Christmas Carol right now, which will open December 20th. Tickets are available right now, so you can actually start purchasing tickets right now.
My daughter's in it.
She is.
Yay. Nice.
I'm so proud. And then also, LPRep is relaunching their education program. So Miss Keeley, which is myself, will be teaching youth drama and teen drama starting October 21st. You can get more information on that on our website. And also for folks coming to the show, there may be some limited edition merchandise.
That's right.
That you can pick out.
Shirts and mugs and so some fantastic things.
Yeah. And if you have a favorite quote from the show, chances are you might be able to get a piece of it.
Merch.
Bring home with
merch.
You.
Okay. Good to know. Okay. So bring, yes. Bring your family, bring your checkbook, go see the show, Steel Magnolias. Nikki Lutman plays Malin, Aviana Elizabeth Garcia plays Truvy Jones. Sorry to put you on the spot. Can you name the other people in the cast?
Absolutely, I can. Gladly.
Let's throw out the names.
All right, I'll just start. We listed Nikki Lutman as Malin. We've also mm-hmm. got Corinne Thompson playing Malin mm-hmm. on Sundays. We've got Elizabeth Garcia playing Truvy. Holly Sharp will be playing the role of Anel on Fridays and Saturdays. Jesse McKechnie will be playing the role of Anel on Sundays. We also have the great Kate McAllister playing the role of Clary Belcher, and coming up in local theater, Shelley Johnson playing Weeza. Oh my gosh, who am I forgetting? I'm not forgetting anybody. No?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. I can do this. We got Shelby, Malin, Weezer,
Clarice. Oh, we got Shelby. Oh, my gosh. We forgot Shelby.
Okay.
Holly Beeman, which has been in every single LPO rep production since we started. Shockingly enough, her first role with us was Igor in Young Frankenstein.
And she was fantastic.
And she was fantastic. Yeah. And she was my, I'll just brag about Holly for just a quick second. She was the one that I knew needed to be Shelby just because of her depth, maturity, and presence on stage. She's just, she's a force of nature on stage. Yeah. I can't believe my brain slipped. I love you, Holly.
I think you named them all then. You got to Annelle, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anything else the actresses would like to say before we sign off?
I do want to say that you should come see this play twice. Because our understudies do such a fantastic job. As Keeley says, it's not, they're not second to anything. They are just as much a part of this cast as those of us who are playing the primary nights. Mm-hmm. They are spectacular. So you should come see them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is just so grand. Yeah.
This was fun. Yeah. Thanks for coming in. It's always nice to talk to Keeley, of course, and anybody she likes to bring in with her to talk about performances. The Christmas Carol, I guess auditions are closed. You're all set for
We're
that.
We're all set, yeah. Okay.
Well, we'll talk about that hopefully in December.
Then. Yes, sir.
Okay. we'll be back in just a second to talk about what else is going on in town this weekend, as if you need anything else going on in town this weekend.
That's right. Okay.
Stay tuned to the KRFY Morning Show. That is from the original motion picture soundtrack to Steel Magnolias. The play is on the Panada main stage this weekend and next. And joining us from the Panada is Rob Talbot, the executive director of that organization in that theater. How's it going, Rob?
Good. How about yourself, Mr. Peterson?
Oh, doing pretty well. Always nice to talk to Keeley and, as I said, anybody who she cares to bring in. And especially, it was very nice to meet Nikki and Aviana from that play. I think that is going to be a good show. Have you been able to witness any of it yet?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've got little sneak peeks, as they rehearse, and it's always, you know how perfectionists are. It's always interesting to hear how they're worried about this, or worried about that. And you know, it looks great to me. It sounds great to me. So
yeah,
they're rolling, they're ready to go. And it's going to be a great 2 weekends of performances.
I mentioned, I said, here's a Southern gentleman waiting outside our door.
I heard that, yeah.
You. Would you consider yourself a Southern gentleman?
Well, I would be honored to think that. And I was just telling them as they were walking out, I was like, well, I'm probably one of the few options we have here in Sandpoint for a Southern gentleman, so we're going to have to just probably go with it.
Yeah.
We can go with it. How about that?
You're from, is it Tennessee? Is that right?
No, Southern Virginia, okay. right along the Carolina border.
That counts.
It's the South. Yeah, I mean, if you were to go back there and listen to my neighbors or my, you know, if my father was still alive, you would have a hard time understanding what he's saying.
Yes, I've met that kind of Southerner.
Marble in the mouth is the phrase.
Aside from the big play, what else is coming up at the Panada you want to bring to our attention?
You know, I would like to throw my 2 cents, another 2 cents in on the play. You know, I think one of the many things that makes the Panada a very unique and beautiful venue and community oriented is the fact that we can go, the schedule that we have coming up can highlight a local theater production company, Repertory Theater, and then have six shows over 2 weekends, and we can have all this other stuff that we have. And I know it's a lot to ask, and you know, there are a lot of people out there that go to this stuff willingly and quickly, and we see them all the time. And you know, I just throw it out there to those of you that, that appreciate what we do and know that we need you here and there too. You know, come out and have that night where you're like, I don't really know if I want to go, but come out and join us. And you know, you're going to have a good time and you're going to see some folks that make you smile and there's going to be stuff that, that, connects you to the community. So come on out and enjoy what we're trying to do for you. So to that point, the schedule is really diverse in October. So we have Steel Magnolias. Mm-hmm. We have Teton Gravity Research Beyond the Fantasy. We have a couple Wednesday shows this month because we're so packed. Beyond the Fantasy is on Wednesday, October 16th. And that's kind of in between some of the two Steel Magnolia weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And those shows almost always sell out, or if they don't sell out, they're really close, those Teton Gravity Research shows.
Yeah.
Because there's always fun. They always do a raffle, and it's great cinematography. It's beautiful scenery. It's great storylines that, you know, inspire you to get out there, as well as sometimes pull a tear.
Yeah,
jerk a tear. So
this is, it's a skiing film.
Yes,
right. And is it just skiing, or do they do other? I mean, are there any other winter sports involved?
I don't know specific. Just, yeah, from my experience going to these shows for years. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they're all skiing.
Or at least they're the downhill sports. They're not
Well, they're going uphill too. They're skiing uphill and they're backcountry skiing and stuff like that.
Yeah. But not like, I don't know, fishing or something like that.
No, there's no fishing. There's it's all snow sport.
Yeah.
And then I'm really excited about Gaelic Storm, which that's another Wednesday show on the 23rd. And that one is they're internationally touring. They're based out of Ireland. So real Celtic music.
Some kind of Celtic.
Celtic rock, really high energy. I remember in college and high school listening to Enter the Haggis, that Celtic rock style, and this is in that vein. A lot of high energy, fun dancey music on a Wednesday, so maybe take Thursday off.
Yeah.
But those tickets are starting to are really rolling out the door now. They've been going since we announced it several months ago, but they're starting to really pop out the door, and I think people are excited to have a fun Wednesday night out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's to get some of these bigger bands, bigger names, we really kind of have to take what we can get, so to speak, and a Wednesday night sometimes for these internationally touring bands is what we can get. So we're excited to have them on a Wednesday night.
Yeah. And then the very next day, you got a Thursday show.
Yeah, switching it right over to a Thursday show. That one is Gideon Friedman, Cello Bob. And he plays, so that we'll be playing silent film, and he'll be playing the cello to those films and talking about it and stuff like that. So that'll be a really interesting and fun evening, too. POAC bringing that one in.
Yeah.
You know, if Tone and Dino and POAC are bringing it in, it's going to be good. So
yeah, part of the Pottery Arts Council's Performing Arts Series. That's correct. The second one of
that's
the year.
That's the second one.
Yeah.
And if you go onto our website or theirs, you can see the rest of that series lined out, and go ahead and start making your plans for those days.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us all why there will be no Little Live Radio Hour in the Little Theater on the 22nd. We pushed it back to November 12th.
We pushed it back to November 12th. You know, another great example of community working together to get some cool stuff done. Now we're going to be setting up a haunted house, a little theater of horrors, and we're going to be setting that up the weekend before the 22nd, so the 19th, 20th, I believe that is. So anybody wants to help, we could use some volunteers. We're partnering with Nova High to put this on, and we're gonna transform the Little Panada into a haunted house, and that's gonna run from October 24th through the 31st. From 5 to 8.
Very cool. Nova High School. That's the Waldorf School's new high school branch or something. I think it only existed for a couple years.
Right? It's pretty new. They're doing some really great stuff. I've enjoyed working with them, and they put on a really great play last year.
That's right,
the ladies. I mean, really impressive production value. and acting and vocalists.
Yeah,
it was a musical. So
yeah, we had them. We had some of the cast in here. I'm trying to remember the name now. It escapes me. But I think I mentioned last week when Caitlin was in here that getting high school students to put together a haunted house, I think that's the right. That's exactly who you want to do it. That's when you're kind of the creative, the scary side of things, and you know is at its peak.
And they're having fun with it, and it's nice to you know they've got a lot of good stuff that they're trying to do with their school and they're with their nonprofit. So giving them the partnering up with them to raise funds for both organizations, and similarly to the theater camp that we did with LPORT this past summer. You know, it'd be really nice if this was an annual thing. I mean, that venue is a really cool little space, and it's really exciting to see it get used. And, you know, I think it'd be nice if we had a tradition, haunted house tradition, that stayed in one place and you could rely on it year to year.
That would be kind of cool. Yeah. The Little Theater of Horrors. And have they asked yet? Have they started pushing the boundaries? Have they asked you if they can do anything that you had to say, no, you can't do that. You can't have a bomb go off.
Well, yeah. Michelle is who we're working with mostly through Nova, Michelle Berkeley. And she's been really, really amazing. Her and Caitlin and Olivia as well, our fundraising coordinator, kind of worked on this, and they're the creative minds. And you know, we've all sat down, and I think we've all thrown out an idea or two that where the other ones were like, I don't think we can do that. It sounds good, but
yeah. Okay, a haunted house or a haunted theater. Are they going to lean into like the theater part of it, or is it more of a traditional haunted house? Like, is there going
to
be?
I mean, I think it would be a miss to not lean into that a little bit.
I would think so. Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't want to give you too many details. Well, first, honestly, because I don't have a whole lot. We're kind of making this up and having a lot of fun with it as we go. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Don't want to spoil the fun. So when I do know more, I might not tell you.
Okay. Yeah. It'll just be a spooky little haunted house. Have you ever seen a ghost in the Panetta Theater? Have you had any spooky experiences there yet?
I have not seen anything specific. Honestly, I've seen more at the Heartwood than I have at the Panetta, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. But I definitely have, you know, I like to work late. My mind works into the night, so I've stayed late quite a bit, and you know, I was like, kids are already asleep, so why would I? Family's already asleep, so I might as well stay and get some work done. But anyway, I've definitely felt like there are. I'm not alone.
Yeah. A little spooky.
Yeah, honestly, the little theater, the old Kamloops, is more spooky to me than the main theater.
I can see that. That would be Well, we should look into the history of that building. I wonder if anything has happened there that would be worth haunting later on. Did we get all the way through October? Anything else?
No. We're close, but okay. Well, because we have Rocky Horror Picture Show coming up.
Excellent.
On the 25th. Really expecting to see a good crowd for that. We're going to be handing out goodie bags, participation bags. We'll have live hosts. We'll have a costume contest with free tickets to the birthday party on the 16th, which I'll talk about here in a second a little bit more.
Okay.
So it's going to be a really fun night. I've gotten a lot of requests to bring back Rocky Horror Picture Show, and so it's really exciting to see people get excited about that and looking forward to that and getting their fishnets ready.
People.
And no, I won't be there in fishnets. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, we'll see about that. The Rocky Horror Picture Show, that's Friday, October 25th. That would be, I'm guessing that's the Friday right before Halloween, sure enough.
And, it is, yes.
Okay.
And one more thing I'll throw out there. I know a lot of people are getting stressed out, nervous, whatever. A lot of people just ignoring politics right now. However you want to do it, we do want to invite you out on Tuesday, November 5th, for a relaxing, mind off night.
Yes.
With a great movie, Anchorman.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do that at 7. Start that movie at 7 on the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wear your I Voted sticker, we will give you $2 Rainiers.
Hey.
Until you're either leaving or until you can't anymore.
Yeah. Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, a perfect election night. Yes. Movie.
Distraction.
It starts at 7, and so it'll be, you can walk out of there and either go, you'll be able to go and watch the returns come in, or yes, ignore it. Go to bed.
Yep. Just, yeah. Uh-huh. And one more thing, I alluded to the birthday party. We're really looking forward to this. You know, we're only a few years away from 100 years at the Panada, which is an amazing milestone to reach.
Mm-hmm.
This year is our 97th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to start kind of ramping it up and figuring out how does Sandpoint want to celebrate. And this year, you know, we're not announcing this till tomorrow, but I'm going to give you some details a little bit ahead of time. An amazing vocalist and R&B soul jazz musician, Raquel Rodriguez out of Los Angeles, is going to come up and play our birthday party.
Cool.
On November 16th. And she is out of this world. Going to be a really good time. And Lucas Brown and his group, the Nightmares, are going to open up. So it is going to be a party and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we're keeping our prices really low on that. We really want to just want to see a full house and have some fun and make some memories. So those tickets are going to be $20.
Cool.
Which for an internationally recognized musician like Raquel is that's pretty good.
The 16th, is that what you said?
November 16th. Yeah.
Okay.
So mark those calendars. Tickets will go on sale tomorrow. We'll do the official announcement, and tickets will go on sale tomorrow. Excited to. Looking forward to that, and we're also looking for other ways to get the community engaged, and probably going to do a little low key dinner so over at the Little Theater that night as well for folks. So if you're interested in a fundraising style dinner, then hit me up.
Okay.
Looking forward to celebrating the Sandpoint's gym.
Yeah.
Theater.
We are well over time. We got to go and play some Bird Note. I'll mention a couple other things. If you're interested in touring a fire station, the Sandpoint Fire is hosting their open house this afternoon from 2 to 5 p.m. Kids Firefighter Combat Course and other educational areas for kids to enjoy, fun and educational for Fire Prevention Month. And coming up this weekend, we of course have mentioned Steel Magnolias, and that is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Panada Theater. It's Oktoberfest this weekend at Matchwood, what do they call that? Crap.
Granary District.
Thank you, the Granary District. With all the local breweries, we'll be at Oktoberfest from 12 to 6 p.m. on the 12th. Also, this weekend is the Harvest Fest, the final Sandpoint Farmers Market. KRFY will be there. The Garden Life gals, Julie and Julie, will be recording some stuff for a future Garden Life morning show. And you can come down and say hi to us, as well as the food bank, as well as the library, and the whole Farmers Market crew. Harvest Fest this weekend in Farman Park, the usual spot. And there's other stuff coming up, too. The Carousel of Smiles Parade is coming up. And I don't know. The U-Pick Pumpkin Patch out at Bushel and Peck Farm is open now. With that, I'm going to kick it over to Bird Note and start our programming day in earnest. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah. Here we go. Stay tuned for Bird Note, not as eclectic mix all day long after that, here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.